On 4th of July, the communities would get together in one place on the Glades during the boat days. Well, one year we'd be in Okeechobee, another year being South Bay, another year being in Pahokee. Belleglade them days wasn't in existence at that time. Belleglade didn't come into the picture until about just about around 25. But between 25 and 1800, there were 7 years there, why Belleglade was too far east, and the used to freeze out. In other words, and people didn't farm that far. They had farmed, the farming was all close to the lake on account of the frost conditions. And then at that time there was no drainage, and you drown out. In other words, so Belleglade didn't come into existence till about, I'd say 25, maybe 24, 25. We'd have baseball and different kind of two-legged races and stuff like that, you know, and have a chicken. Everybody had chickens them days, and Brunswick stew. Mm-hmm. Them days, instead of barbecue like it is now, and everybody get acquainted and all tell their stories, you know, this and that and the other thing about new babies being born and this and that and the other thing. Who made money? Who lost money? And so forth. So on. Uh-huh.
You know, a fellow over in Palmdale named Tom Gaskins.
How's that?
You know, a fellow over in Palmdale, the name of Tom Gaskins. Does the Cypress Knee stuff?
Well, no. See, I've been out of my age and their age. I'm out of there.
Well, he's
in his 80s.
Yeah.
Well, we never did get acquainted with people, except driving through LaBelle and stuff like that.
Yeah. But
I don't know nobody in LaBelle. There used to be a restaurant there. I'm told the restaurant's still there, and one of the sisters is still running it. It's on the right-hand side going west. And the only thing I know about LaBelle, the boys from here, they used to go hunting in Big Cypress. Mm-hmm. Used to go through there and hunt out of season. And on our way back, they'd be arrested. And they'd find him enough money to paint the courthouse. that's the only way the Pahokee boys here would paint the courthouse every once in a while. during the boat days, life here in Pahokee was very simple. Mm-hmm. We had no taxes to pay, no water bills to pay, no electric lights bill to pay. And all we had, no taxes to pay, and all we had was whatever groceries and clothes and stuff like that.
I think people were probably better talkers in those days too, before they had television.
Well, there was more of a human relationship. I'll admit that. Mm-hmm. Now there's a different story today. I used to know every family from Sandcut to Beckham Point, every house and. Not only who they are, but I knew their children and all for years and years and years. But today I can't do that. Today. It's a different society. But because of the reason why I knew them all, I used to haul ice out of West Palm Beach after 25 when the county highway was built. And I delivered ice to them houses. And, of course, I got acquainted with the families and all. And
kids look forward to the Iceman coming too, didn't they?
How's that?
The kids look forward to the Iceman coming.
Oh yeah, yeah. They watch me.
Uh-huh.
They with any cut ice that I had, why they get it.
Right.
Yeah. But life is simple. One thing you didn't do in them days. You didn't fool around with the bootleggers.
Even the law didn't fool around with the
vote? Well, no, I didn't fool around with them. Uh-huh. They had their way.
Uh-huh.
Because the sheriff protected them. The deputy sheriffs that they had protected them to see they made the deliveries.
Now, was this like this for local consumption, or did they?
No, they were shipping it out of here by the barrels and Jimmy John's. And
where was it going to?
Well, them days it went to Okeechobee, West Palm Beach, and Fort Lauderdale,
mm-hmm.
Fort Myers,
mm-hmm.
and distributed from that point. But they're all connected up.
Yeah.
Of course, the sheriff some days had more authority than they have today.
Uh-huh.
They were more. They had more escape routes, or more ways of dodging the law themselves, as far as that goes, than they have now. I don't think today a sheriff can allow a bootlegger to operate. Them days they could.
I've heard a lot about the juke joints and things.
The what?
Juke joints.
Well, the juke joints.
That was later.
Well, the Saturday Evening Post came out with an article, "The Land of the Jukes,"
mm-hmm.
and it told about all the juke joints. And we had more juke joints in the Glades than they had in the whole state of Florida.
They had just as many churches.
And what'd she say?
She said they had just as many churches as they did
juke. Well, yeah, they had churches. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't think they had as many. Yeah, they had more churches than juke joints, but nevertheless, we had juke joints.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't too bad. We had one we call the Bucket of Blood. The Bucket. Blood of the Bucket or something. I think it's Bucket of the Blood.
Somebody got killed there.
Yeah, yeah. And but most of the rest of them were. We're mostly the people tolerate each other.
They have bands and music and stuff?
Oh, no. Juke joints. I mean, all they had was
juke boxes.
Mm-hmm. That's all. No, they didn't have no bands. The only bands we had was in the 30s, and that was the American Legion and organizations used to have bands on their 4th of July and Labor Day.
For a dance or something like that?
Well, the dancing, there was dancing in the Glades, all right. But
we had Bean Festival.
Yeah, we used to have Bean Festival, and we had dancing while that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
The people enjoyed themselves in a kind of a primitive way. They used to have dinner on the ground at church every Sunday, in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And people invited each other to eat, different homes and all, more so than they do now. I'm satisfied of that. I mean, from percentage-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And life was tolerant, although it was rough, but then it was still tolerant. You adjusted yourself with the people that you can get along with, and you adjusted yourself and avoided the ones you couldn't get along with. And which I guess they'd still do today, same thing. But I've had a lot of good friends, and I've had quite a few enemies through envy. And 30 years later, one person here in Pahokee, he was clerk of the city hall, and I was on the council, and I retired. And he said to me, he says, "Carmen," he says, "I envy you. I've envied you all my life." To me, it was a shock, because he came out of an intelligent family, and he was intelligent himself. So you run into that. And I didn't know anything like that could happen, where a person would be envy of you, you know. But that's the way life is.
Did he mean he respected you? Or
he oh, yeah. No, he always respected me. But he never did express himself, or he never did do nothing against me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he, of course, he wouldn't take my word over somebody else that had more influence and all, but he never did any mental damage. He never did. You run into things like that. Then you run into the other stuff, you know. But as a whole, I want to say this for the pioneers of the Glades: they were honest. They owe you a nickel; they'll break their neck to pay you the nickel. And if you loaned them anything, they'd bring it back. And you could trust them with it. We never did put a key in our doors here until the 50s. And our home was wide open, and so was a lot of our neighbors. But after the 50s there, we had to put locks on our doors and close them up at night.
Would you say people were honorable in a way that they...
Well, they were, with all their faults, they were there. I'd say they were the most honest people I ever run into, from a point of society. And of course, them days people didn't have nothing, didn't ask for much, didn't expect much. Where today, everybody wants to be a millionaire, and the consequences are, they go for it, and during that period of time, they do things that maybe they shouldn't do. I don't know, but that's why I got to figure it out.
What was it like coping without all the air conditioning?
How's that?
What was it like coping without all air conditioning?
Oh, we just air conditioning them days.
Yeah, obviously you didn't have it, so people had to. Just
well, we just got under the shade of a tree.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, kept our doors open.
A lot more people sat outside.
Yeah. Well, you just like I told you, there was more communication between the people. Yeah.
We had the lake, came right
to here. Them days I was supported
lake
dike.
Fire,
so that cooled you all.
Oh, yeah.
Florida's very fortunate. You got the Atlantic Ocean over here, and you got the Gulf of Mexico over here. And as a rule, you got a breeze most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the weather's concerned, if you get out there in the sun and have to work that day, of course, it's a little rough. But you know, them days... picking shovels was common. There wasn't a house nowhere that didn't have a shovel. There was no 90%. I would say at least half of them had wheelbarrows, and labor. You didn't have the machinery and the technology like you have now of accomplished. We didn't have no ice box. We had to haul the ice somewhere. In other words, whatever you had to do, you done it with a physical effort.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there's a lot of things you do today. You can set this table right now without even cooking.
Mm-hmm.
All you do is take it and put it
microwave. Right.
You don't do nothing.
Uh-huh.
And put a meal on a table. Well, you didn't do it them days. You had to go out and chop your wood. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to turn around and stay at that stove and cook. You don't have that no more.
Where did you get the water in those days?
Oh, it was out there in the lake.
Got it from the lake.
A barrel. And rainwater. We used to have tanks for the rainwater.
Uh-huh.
Rainwater was a big item because it was you could wash clothes with it and so forth. And then it was better to drink and so forth and so on. It was more healthy. When you had storms over the lake would get rough and all get dirty and stuff. You couldn't use the water. And you had to put it in a barrel and settle water had to settle for you to drink it. And but the rainwater, you could put it up high enough, if your house is high enough, then you can turn around and put your pipes down in your kitchen where water would run out of your tank. And then them days in the 20s, And the 19th and 20th and 30s, we used to have anywhere from 50 to 60 inches of rain a year, where today it's down to about 40. For some reason or another, we don't have the rains we had them 20 years. And storms, we had hurricanes. We had three hurricanes at one time. We had one that hit us hard, and one that hit us about halfway, and the other one gave us a side swipe.
Mm-hmm.
And the last hurricane we've had was in 49. So
the most damaging one, when was that? The most damaging hurricane, that was in 28?
28. I mentioned about 28.
Uh-huh.
We buried 2,700 people in 28.
Wow.
It took us 2 weeks with 400 men to clear up the Darpas around Pahokee. and we had problems. We had the National Guards in. Cat Baker took over. And we had a war committee in the town that took over the rehabilitation to get the town and the town and the area back into normal condition.
So were you here when it hit?
Oh yeah, yeah. We went through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. This house too?
No, the house that I destroyed the house I lived in then. I put the roof up on top of that tree up there.
Wow.
You ever seen my backyard? Well, I got a big cypress tree over here on the side,
uh-huh.
And the we'll walk out there when you get ready to go.
Okay.
And the story about the hurricane. I see it. Yeah, I see it. We'll get through it in a few minutes.
I can turn it off. If you're
no, there. No. We do we'll see them. The hurricane, we never had a hurricane since 1912. The last hurricane was in Florida, it was in 1912 or 1911, down the Keys. The people up here, they never heard about the hurricane. They know anything about the hurricane. And we got together up to uptown, and very few left because we never seen a hurricane. We didn't know what the damage was going to be, so forth and so on. We didn't have the information them days that you have now. And we've been having what they call equinoctial storms, which comes in the month of September and October and so forth and so on, that gave us some damage, but nothing like a hurricane did in 28, or on 26. Well, the first one we had was 26, but it didn't bother. It only sliced very, very little damage on this end. The damage was mostly on the West Coast. But the 28, so we turned around and didn't leave. And so the wind started about a half an hour before sundown. And I was at the house, and we were home. We had everything arranged, you know, as far as food is concerned, so forth. So when the gales started hitting, and they got strong enough, the house would heave. And so finally got bad enough where I decided I better take the family out of the house. So we went to a tree, not the tree that's there now, this tree's gone, where the driveway is on that side. And we stayed behind the tree, and the wind was out of the west. And see, there's one thing people don't know about a hurricane. When the hurricane starts, you face the hurricane. Face the wind right in your face, and then put out your right arm, and that's where the hurricane is. See? In other words, the wind's hitting you here, the hurricane's over there.
Uh-huh.
So you can go this way, get out of it, see? Or go that way and get out of it, or go this way and get out of it. But a lot of people don't know that, although I've tried to warn the people here on the TV, they still don't tell the people that. You can get out of there. You can stay up until the hurricane hits and still get out of it. See? Because you know what the direction that the hurricane is going. But they don't tell that to the people. I don't know why, but I've notified two of the stations about it a dozen times.
Because very few weathermen have stuck around and waited for the hurricane to come that close to them.
No, they can notify the people that,
yes, yeah, yeah.
But they don't do it. And then the water started coming up. The lake started coming up. So we got behind the ridge here. This is a ridge right here. And we got behind it. We're going to this at night. You can't see your hand that close to your face. The wind and the rain is in sheets. not drops now. I mean sheets. You just wipe it off like that. Can you imagine sheets of water hitting you? Hmm? That's the way it was. So we got behind the ridge. Then the first thing you know, the water started coming over the ridge. Well, that scared me. Because I didn't know, I couldn't tell, you couldn't see. So we went to the road, and it took me on our haunches to travel 900 feet. It took me an hour and 20 minutes. Because the wind would blow us off the road, then we had to tack back, and then go towards Pahokee, and then tack back, and the wind would wash you across the road, the water and the wind. Then you had to come back against the wind, then go as far towards the town as you could. Then during that period of time, the wind and the rain was washing you into the, and there was a canal on that side at that time. So anyhow, we got to a house 900 feet from here. The house is not there anymore. Another house, but it's not the two-story house. And I felt a vacuum. Well, I thought I was in town. See, I thought I was in Pahokee, which is a mile away. Well, I thought I went a whole mile in an hour and 20 minutes. Well, anyhow, so we stood up. Now, this is a two-story house within 30 feet of the where you are, and you can't see it. So we walked to it, and it was McClure's house. And it took that two-story house off the foundation and piled it into the foundation. That's how strong the wind was. So when I went to the door, the man that owned the house was on his hands and knees at the corner of the house, hanging on to the root of a tree. And I said to him, I said, McClure, where do you think you're going? He said, we're fixing to leave the house. I said, Mac, you can't leave the house. I said, this is the best thing you got. I said, I just come from out there. I said, I know you don't want to go there. There's no way for you to leave the house. There's no place to go out there. Let's go back in the house. So he came towards me, got out of the wind, and came towards me, stood up. And he had a concrete stoop, whatever you want to call it, and the house done knocked it down. And we took the kids and we went into the house. And we stayed there till the lull came. And when the lull came, we came out, and I told McClure, I says, Mr. and Mrs. Hunter, they were old people, they were in their 80s, late 80s and all, and they only weighed 115 pounds apiece, 120 the most. And now let's go and see if they survived. So they lived just 300 feet from here. And we went to the house, and the water from the lake went right through the house. Because their house wasn't on the ridge, it was on the flat part. And we couldn't find them. So we went down the ridge looking for them. And during the lull, there's a vacuum. There's no air. I mean, there's air, but there's no sound. There's no air moving. It's like walking through a living hell. There's no sound of nothing. And you're walking through like a vacuum of some kind. So we went through the house and there was nobody there. We walked about a quarter of a mile. And we couldn't find them. So we came, then the winds turned. And when the wind turned, I said to Mac, let's get back to the house. Because 50% of the time, the reverse wind is worse than the first one. Mm-hmm. So we got to the house before the second blow of the hurricane hit us. So we stayed in the house till that was over with. And when we stayed there till daylight. And went down trying to pick up Mr. and Mrs. Hunter. We found Mrs. Hunter within 10 feet of where we were, but she's so weak, she heard us, but she couldn't answer us back. She was so exhausted and couldn't, couldn't just express herself with. And if she did, it wasn't loud enough for us to hear it. And we found Mr. Hunter riding a dead cow about 600 feet from the ridge out there in the muck, in the water. And we got him to Pahokee, and Dr. Spooner took care of him. And then we went uptown. And when we went uptown, why, everybody had a story to tell. And you think that story is about as bad as it could be, but the next guy would give you one worse than that one. And that went on like all day long. Well, everybody was in a daze. It took us about sometime around 4 or 5 o'clock that afternoon to come to our senses and organize to take care of the damage. And we corralled about 400 colored people, and we organized a citizen committee and so forth and so on. And next day, well, the National Guard came in, and they closed up the glades so people couldn't come in except the ones that had business in the glades. And you could go out without any trouble, but you couldn't come in for about 10 days. And it took us better than 14 days to clean up the dead bodies and all. It took the first 2 or 3 days. We piled up the dead. We shipped them to West Palm Beach by boat. And then after that, the weather got hot. It rained 5 days after the hurricane, just, you know, drizzle rain. And the bodies got decomposed, and you couldn't handle them. We had to go out there with crude oil and burned the bodies where we found them.
You must have had nightmares for a long time.
Sir?
You must have had nightmares for a long time.
No, it didn't bother me. We had so much work to do. Uh-huh. I worked 20 hours a day. We had all kinds of work for responsibility. Uh-huh. I got up. I only slept. I'm satisfied. I slept the most sleep when I got there for 2 weeks. Was not over 4 hours out of 24. Because I always took responsibility. We had problems to solve. We had Mr. Baker, the captain of the worked with us like $1 million. And when he got into a jam, he called me to come in and straighten it out. And I don't want to brag about it, but I took over the roofing and tar. I had 3 cars of tar up there, Canal Point, from the Belcher Oil Company. I handled that. Then the people who were feeding the 400 laborers wasn't doing a good job, and I took that over and straightened that all out, and then turned it over to the people to handle it. And then we promised. See, we had no money. The Board of County Commissioners didn't have no money. The City of Pahokee had no money to pay anybody. And so the Red Cross, by that time, came in. And they wouldn't pay that because they're an obligation to the city. And so we had a problem with them. So Mr. Sharp and Mr. York and myself was put on a committee to take care of the obligation we made to the laborers. And we made the only obligation we made to them was that we'd feed them during what was going on. They slept under the buildings. They slept in the schoolhouse. They were in the rain for 5 days. Their clothes were stuck to their bodies, and we promised them a full suit of working clothes, underwear and a hat, and shoes and socks, complete. And that's all we promised. So we tried to get the Red Cross to pay it, and they wouldn't do it. And so we went to West Palm Beach, Mr. Sharp, York, and myself, and we went to Mr. Conklin, who was the owner of the Palm Beach Post at the time. And we went there and told him the problem. So we were having a memorial at the cemetery there in West Palm Beach, where they buried the bodies you know, in a ditch, just one on top of the other, or one alongside of each other. And having a memorial that day, he says, let's go there and take that in, then come back, we'll see what we can do about it. So we went to that, and then came back to the office. He gets on the telephone, and he calls up Anthony, calls up Cater, calls up a bunch out of Palm Beach, calls up the manager of the Palm Beach Mercantile Company, and other business people. They had about 25, 30 people there. And we told them our story, and they said, well, we'll underwrite it, underwrite the bill. Well, Anthony happened to have enough clothes, well, more than to serve, to take care of 400 people, all khaki clothes, khaki socks, khaki army shoes, army cap, hats, you know, the whole works. So I told Conklin, they gave me the truck to load up and all to bring it out in the glades, and I drove all night that night with the truck without lights over the old